/flex.
Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
The three leaders of the three branches in this come out looking pretty good. President of the United States always looks good when he can rise above a partisan fray or kind of resolve a partisan difference. Leader Reid, holding a very diverse, very difficult Senate group of Senate Democrats together. And probably the most difficult piece of this, John Boehner, able to get cuts even above what he had gone into the negotiating asked for. He went into the negotiations wanting $32 billion in cuts. Data's reporting it's going to be 38 to 39. That's about 125% what he was seeking. That's pretty good.
Here's Paul Begala, the former advisor to President Clinton, who thinks that President Obama and the Democrats were the big winners in the battle over the budget following Friday night, late night agreement that avoided a shutdown. That's where we start this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show. Doug Steffen on remote here on Fox. Gretov and Sestrin talks to Karl Rove, who focuses on Boehner as the big winner.
What did Senator Harry Reid win, and what did President Obama win?
Not much. President Obama did not win much of anything. He has been absent from the process until this week. He said he wanted this done early in the week. He wanted it done this morning. Didn't happen. He said he would never sign another short-term continuing resolution. He's going to sign it. But most important of all, both Senator Reid and President Obama attacked the fundamental idea of cuts, spending cuts. They Senator Reid said that this was going to be dangerous to the Republic if we cut a dime, and we're going to end up cutting nearly $40 billion out of the budget, and that's going to be important. So Senator Reid did win one thing in that he kept the Democrat Senate caucus relatively united and quiet. And they got a deal that they can live with.
I'm curious. He heard it as cats. They didn't want those cuts. So that's right. They didn't want the cuts, number one.
He's got some who don't. But remember, he's got 23 Democrats up next year out of his 53-member caucus. And some of those are in red states, and they're very nervous about being put in a place where they vote against spending cuts and for more spending. The winner is John Boehner. John Boehner has shown incredible leadership in keeping what could have been potentially a fractious caucus united and together. He has put at the front center of the national debate spending cuts, and he has won dramatic spending cuts over the opposition of the Democrat leader in the House, the majority leader in the Senate, and the President of the United States.
But I don't think he had much choice. Those Republican freshmen, I don't think they can be underestimated in terms of their determination and how much they're sticking together.
Oh, sure.
I don't think he had a lot of wiggle room.
He didn't want to have a lot of wiggle room. You have to remember, this is a guy who came to Congress in 1992, John Boehner, and has never asked for and never sought and would never encourage his district to receive an earmark because he considers them corrosive and wrong. So, the amazing thing to me is he's kept this all together. And I talked in the last couple of days with a couple of members of the Tea Party caucus in the House, and they told me independently, I've gone to John Boehner and told him I'm with him in this fight, which is powerful. John Boehner created a sense of unity.
Unless he changed his mind. If he changed his mind, he wasn't fighting for what they wanted. They were going to be with his fight.
I know, but you know what? They were convinced he was working for them and working with them.
Because they have almost a 90 block, a 90-vote block.
Well, it's not that unified. It's not just freshmen. It's freshmen and others. But we have a diverse House, and he kept it together. And that's a remarkable accomplishment.
Ed is a caller who is a federal employee, and he thinks it's ridiculous Congress took so long to reach this agreement.
I think that it's important for the leadership, and I'm talking about, I work for the U.S. Congress, first of all. So I think that they had a leadership problem in terms of making sure that the American people could continue living the way they're used to living. And I'm against anything that interferes with that. So to the point that Congress and the president should show some leadership, especially the Congress, I think that waiting for the last minute was a bad move on their part. I think they worked against each other most of the time, and I was against that part of it because, again, they're only one-third of the Congress. The Senate and the White House are two-thirds of the government, and I think that they should have come to terms much sooner than they did.
Coming up next, we'll hear from a host who takes a closer look at John Boehner's role
and avoiding the shutdown here on the countdown.
Live from Progressive.
Flo again, talking about something dear to my heart.
Saving money.
And we have Marcy.
Hi, can I really find other car insurance companies' rates on Progressive.com?
Sure can. It makes rate shopping fast and saving as easy as pie.
Oh, it's got to be easier than that. Ever tried making a pecan pie?
It can get soupy.
Visit Progressive.com to compare rates and start saving today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Comparison rates not available in Massachusetts and certain other states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
Listen up, ladies. Right now, Bare Minerals by Bare Essentials is inviting you to participate in a special nationwide giveaway of the mineral makeup everyone's talking about. That's right. We're letting everyone who calls try America's number one mineral makeup risk-free. Just call 1-800-507-3985 to find out how. This is an exclusive radio-only offer you don't want to miss. You've probably heard about Bare Minerals Foundation. It was quoted in Glamour Magazine as a magic eraser. Allure Magazine, InStyle, and Elle Magazines, and Leaders in Beauty continue to rave about how Bare Minerals Foundation is naturally radiant and good for your skin. Now you can participate in our nationwide giveaway and see for yourself. Bare Minerals, makeup so pure you can sleep in it. Experience the foundation that started the makeup revolution. Participate in this special opportunity to try Bare Minerals Foundation risk-free. And we'll also send you a free gift set. Just call 1-800-507-3985 now. Hurry, you don't want to miss this exclusive radio offer. 1-800-507-3985.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Because neither rain, nor snow, nor dust and dirt, nor smudges, or even the toughest scratches, nor the glare of oncoming traffic can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. Crizal lenses. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
You're listening to the Talk Radio Countdown program. I'm Doug Steffen. His talk host, Terry Gilbert, speaking with a reporter about Boehner's role in the agreement that avoided the shutdown.
Let's start with Boehner. Politico went on to say, in a larger sense, Boehner, quote, has achieved more than just a short-term budget victory on his first 3 months as speaker. It went on to say he's helped turn the entire Washington dialogue into a debate about the size and scope of government. He started the year by getting rid of earmarks. He's pushing now through some of the deepest spending cuts in American history, and he'll now try to get most of the GOP conference on board with Representative Paul Ryan's fiscal 2012 budget, one of the most audacious long-term spending plans in recent memory. All this coming together from a politician who was kicked out of leadership 12 years ago and came to the speaker's job with the serious question marks from the right about how he would go about deal making in the first place with a Democratic president while corralling the 87 strong group of GOP freshmen, unquote. Seems to me this is quite a congratulations to Speaker Boehner from the most of the time left, this is my opinion now, left leaning Politico. How do you see it?
Well, I want to back up on a couple of the comments you made. I'm not sure that he passed through the earmarks thing. Now, that's still way up for grabs. But yes, I mean, I agree that it's a congratulatory message, just because I think everybody on both sides of the aisle is breathing a deep sigh of relief that we didn't have a shutdown. I mean, remember, the last shutdown we had, the full government shutdown we had, was in 1995. There are lots of reasons we do not want a government shutdown. And, look, I think we're all happy, thrilled, that even though it's not a full resolution, it's just a continuing resolution, and the budget still has to be passed.
Does he have the votes, Lise? Do you think so? This is short term, of course.
Yeah, no, I think so. I don't think that they would have passed. And, of course, I haven't been the fly on the wall there at all, but I don't think they would have passed the CR, continuing resolution, if they didn't, if they weren't close. And as of yesterday, it was, 0.1% of 1% of the budget they were arguing about. So it was down to some pretty minute details. And again, neither side, when we were seeing the polls coming in, 37% of the population evenly split, blaming the Republicans, blaming the Democrats if there was to be a shutdown. Nobody, neither party wanted that.
Radio person John McDonald with ABC's David Curley about which party, if either, came out of this looking well.
Who gave the most, do you think?
You know, I think the Republicans can really say that they got much more than the Democrats ever let on that they were going to agree to. If you'll remember back when this Congress started, originally the Appropriations Committee said they wanted to cut in the range of about $35 billion.
Yeah, I do remember that.
The Tea Party said, no, we're going to cut $100 billion. And so the Republicans kind of changed the numbers. They passed the 61. You know, when you get down to it, they got where they were at the beginning. I mean, they cut a lot more than the president of the Democrats. The Democrats have been calling this draconian back earlier in the Congress. Right. So they signed on to something that they certainly didn't like back then.
Laura Ingraham, she said this past week, the whole thing seemed to be about abortion.
Well, it got down to that at the end because some of the conservative members in the Republican caucus wanted to defund Planned Parenthood, even though federal money is not used by Planned Parenthood for abortions. And, yes, it became a social issue. And I'll tell you, we got a little bit of more background. In the meeting Thursday night in the Oval Office with the president and Harry Reid and John Boehner, the president agreed to cut off funding for abortions in the District of Columbia only. And Boehner says, well, I need to defund Planned Parenthood. And the president said, nope, zero. Boehner tried again. The president said the same thing. Nope, zero. One of the aides in the room says it got very silent and said, oh, my gosh, we're not going to get a deal. But apparently, the president putting that line in the sand, saying, no, he wouldn't go there, Boehner came back and said, all right, if you're not going to give me on the social issues, you've got to give me a couple more $1 billion. He got it. They got the deal.
So is that kind of horse trading?
That's what we're hearing from sources who were in the room Thursday night.
So now what do they do?
Well, you know, this is only the prelude. This was billions of dollars. Now we start talking about trillions of dollars with the budget for next year, the one that Paul Ryan introduced from the House earlier this week. But before we even get really to the budget, we're going to talk about the debt ceiling. And some Republicans have already said they're not going to increase the debt ceiling. And there have been dire predictions from the administration, the Federal Reserve, the Treasury Department, economic advisors, that not raising the debt ceiling, allowing the government to borrow more money, which adds to the debt and the deficit, would be catastrophic. So that debate comes next. And if this is any indication of what we're going to go through, we're going to be talking a lot, John.
It's going to be like the old serial movies, you know, that the cliffhanger at the end of every week in Congress.
It sounded like it, isn't it?
David
it
Curley.
Really is. And it's just a question about whether what Boehner and his caucus, you know, where they, if he can find some middle ground with that caucus.
Right.
Jerry, calling in from Nebraska, thinks the Democrats should have taken care of this mess over a year ago.
People act like this budget deal just come up in the last couple months, and it's something that should have been done a year ago. This ain't a deal that just come up. The Democrats had control of the House, the Senate, and the presidency, large majorities in the House and the Senate, and they could have passed any budget they wanted, but it was an election year, and they didn't want to show their hand how much money, more money they was going to spend. They could have had any budget passed they wanted. And Republicans should take no blame for this. It should have been done a year ago.
Coming up next, more on the budget and politics. The next budget debate continues this week, and we continue with that focus on the countdown.
Hello again, I'm back. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources. And I want to address a couple of issues that I hear about daily when we're talking about gold and silver. First, is there anything to suggest that sunny skies are just ahead? We continue to print fiat dollars, inflation worsens, there's civil unrest around the world, and the demand for gold and silver has never, ever been higher. Next, if you heard that possessing metals is a complicated process, I assure you that whether we're discussing a direct purchase or an IRA rollover, this is a simple, straightforward transaction. This is all about protecting your assets, and frankly, what are your options? Stock market, real estate, metal certificates? I don't think so. Please call me, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise a casual conversation, no pressure, no nonsense. I'm John Swenson at 800-686-2237, extension 128, and I sincerely look forward to hearing from you.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill, and I had high blood pressure, high blood sugar, poor vision, and I really wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess, pretty much.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract, and from within a few days, I started sleeping a lot better. My blood pressure normalized, my blood sugar normalized, and my sleep really did improve.
Experience these benefits and more when your body gets what it needs with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.org.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen, talking about what talk radio and talk television are talking about, the left and the right, and that includes the budget situation and the 11th hour agreement that avoided a shutdown. From MSNBC, Contessa Brewer talks with Howard Dean about the Republicans and the Democrats. This ought to be good, his usual rant and rave on the budget.
It seems here, Howard, that on both sides of the aisle, there's real concern about rising deficits, our national debt, and what to do, and real disagreement on how to go about tackling the fiscal crisis ahead of us. Do you see any indication that these two parties are going to be able to work together and figure this out in a reasonable way?
Well, I don't see any indication the Republicans really care about the deficit. What they care about is spending programs, and they're going to cut spending. But they didn't cut the tax subsidies we give to the oil companies. That's $53 billion. They didn't ask the people making $1 million a year to pay what they paid when Bill Clinton was president, who did balance budgets. The only real solution is to both cut spending and raise taxes. And until the Republicans recognize that, they really aren't being serious. They're just being politically provocative.
What did the 2011 budget battle that nearly ended in a government shutdown, what did that suggest to you about the influence now of the Tea Party on the national agenda?
Well, I think, fortunately, the agenda of the Tea Party is was moderated by a president who wanted to get something done. And frankly, I think the speaker deserves some credit as well. The other thing it shows about the national agenda is the Tea Party is far more right-wing than most people believed when they during the election. And I think it's interesting. The approval rating of the Tea Party has been cut by more than 50%. It's down to about 20% nationally, and that's because they have proved and ended up being proved to be right-wing extremists, not people who are just interested in cutting the deficit.
And do you think then what we saw for the 2011 budget was an indicator of what we might see coming up and duking it out over the 2012 budget?
Well, I'm somebody who does believe the budget needs to be smaller, but the budget being smaller includes getting rid of corporate giveaways, not just cutting programs for children and old people. And that's the attitude of the Republicans, is we don't care who gets hurt as long as it's not the big corporations, and that's going to have to disappear. And I think Boehner has been as reasonable as he could be, given the fact that he's got 87 far right wingers in his caucus. I think the president's done the best he can. There's some things I don't like in that settlement, but we're heading in a direction that I think is a good direction for the country. But if it weren't for some reasonable, thoughtful people in the government and in the administration, I think we'd be in real trouble. And I do not think the House is going to be able to deliver a serious budget with all this nonsense about privatizing Medicare, which Paul Ryan wants to do.
Keith from Palm Bay, Florida, with his thoughts, the budget process, the mess, the incompetent politicians in his focus.
Hopefully we'll have a better day coming. I have no children, and right as it is, we are... Hello?
Hello, you're on. Go ahead.
Okay, right as it is, we're spreading our great-grandchildren's money to provide the life that we're living. And this has become a Machiavellian politics, and this is the perfect reason that we should have term limits for these people. They have too much power up there. We have over 300 million people in this country, and it's the same people that's been doing the same stuff for the last 20, 30 years. You should not think in parties anymore. You should think of what they're doing. If you're a business, our government can't even make a budget from last year. We're going week to week. How are businesses supposed to be comfortable in how they're supposed to set up their businesses with regulations and taxes when we don't even know if the government's going to be up and running? I have a pocket constitution that is the whole constitution in a three by two pamphlet that runs the country, and we can't even get a bill that's more than less than 1,000 pages. We have bills now that are 3,000 pages. We need to get back to the essentials of government. Until the taxes are collected locally and kept locally and sent up to Washington, instead of us begging for them to come back from our congresspeople, which causes corruption, this country is going to fail.
And in a moment, we'll focus some more on the budget, including a conversation with John Boehner himself with the Talk Radio Countdown show Moving Along.
Welcome to Ask the Mermaid. Sarah from Detroit, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Mermaid. Listen, you got to help me. My adorable mother-in-law is coming over, and I need to whip up the world's best dinner fast, or I'll never hear the end of it.
Don't panic. Chicken of the Sea is fresh, great-tasting tuna, combined with one of our quick and delicious recipes found on chickenofthesea.com, and your mother-in-law will be speechless.
Well, one can only hope.
Ask any mermaid you happen to see. What's the best tuna? Chicken of the Sea.
For America's wounded warriors, coming home can sometimes be a battle in itself. Making the transition back to civilian life or active duty with a traumatic injury can be the challenge of a lifetime. The USO provides every American a way to support our wounded warriors and their families through every phase of their medical treatment and rehabilitation. It's how all of us, as a community, can give something back to our heroes. It's how we can say thank you and assure them that their sacrifice is recognized and appreciated by every one of us. Join us. Visit USO.org to learn how you can make a difference in the lives of our wounded warriors and their families. The USO, until everyone comes home.
Shadows start to fade as the light slips through the shade. Another morning sneaking in without a sound. Which aroma fills the air, and really nothing can compare to that first cup of Folgers going down. The best part of waking up is Folgers in your car.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
You know that drinking pure, high-alkaline water is one of the most important factors in maintaining high energy and vibrant health, and most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops, available only at AlkaVision.com, combine a unique formula of most alkaline minerals available. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize your water, ridding the body of harmful toxins and acid, helping you to regain your energy and health. Alkalizing your water by simply adding 10 drops of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps the body to rid itself of acidic waste, increases oxygen, and raises the pH of your body to optimal levels. And bacteria and viruses cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for only $29.95 at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com.
This is an urgent message. Urgent if you care about feeding your family. S-510 has passed through Congress and will make the sale of heirloom seeds difficult. Prices of non-GMO seeds are skyrocketing and may be hard to afford in the future, if you can even find them. As the economy continues to decline, this will make the heirloom seeds worth their weight in gold and one of the best barter tools available. When food supplies eventually run out, your solution is to grow your own food and barter tool. Now, for a short time, GetSeeds.net offers 100 packets of heirloom non-GMO vegetable seeds for only $59. Pay with 2 ounces of pure silver or just $59. The best price on the net for high-quality seeds. Our GetSeeds.net seeds are open pollinated vegetable seeds sealed in a Mylar bag for long-term storage. Bulk pricing available, so get seeds while you still can at GetSeeds.net or call toll-free 877-341-4769. That's 877-341-4769.
If you own a septic system or if you're facing costly septic system replacement, this message is for you. When you want to stop paying for pump outs and avoid backups, when you've had enough of the foul odors and costly repairs, use BioSafe One Septic Solution. Now there's an easy to use 100% guaranteed answer to all your septic system problems. BioSafe One Septic Solution. BioSafe One is patented and made specifically for all septic systems and made by the same team of scientists who helped clean up the Exxon Valdez oil spill. BioSafe One decontaminates and removes sludge, stops costly pump outs and repairs, and removes septic system stench, all with a 100% success rate. See what gives BioSafe One Septic Solution the advantage over any other septic product at BioSafeOne.com. That's BioSafeOne.com. BioSafeOne.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-424-6663. That's 1-866-424-6663. BioSafe One, the guaranteed bio-friendly, money-saving way to clean your septic system.
Six.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Welcome back into the Talk Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen with our continuing look at what talk radio and talk television have been focused on. This budget situation, last week's avoidance of a government shutdown. Phil Hemmer talks to Congressman Boehner now about what Boehner thinks needs to happen next, now the Republicans and Democrats have agreed on certain cuts.
Did America get a good deal on Friday night?
I think it was the first big step forward. This isn't perfect. It isn't everything that I wanted by a long shot. But I do believe that it's the first step in what's going to be a lot of steps if we're going to fix our fiscal crisis in Washington.
Well, you wrote a piece today in the USA Today. Twice you used the word perfect. Once you said it's imperfect. And I think Americans see it the same way, because we're still spending more than we make.
No question. Remember, the Democrats didn't do a budget last year. And then when they had Democrat majorities in the House and Senate and the White House in December, they failed to pass a way to fund the government through September 30th. And they left us holding the bag, and we passed a bill to cut $100 billion from what the president wanted to spend. And we ended up in an arrangement where we're going to spend $78, $79 billion less than what the president wanted to spend for the next 6 months.
Would you consider this a good start then?
Good start.
But billions with a B, and next we're going to talk about trillions. But before I get to the next big battle, would you have gotten what you did in this deal had it not been for the Tea Party members in the House? Had it not been for the House Republican freshmen pushing you along?
Well, if it weren't for the House Republican freshmen, we wouldn't be in the majority. And this government would be spending $79 billion more, or really $100 billion more, over the balance of this year. Our freshmen have brought a lot of energy to the fight. And while the president and others want to malign the Tea Party, these are Americans who've gotten engaged in their government, many for the first time. And I think we ought to welcome their involvement, welcome their energy, and we should listen to them.
You think you'll get their vote when this comes to pass on Thursday of this week, officially?
We'll get some of those votes. Others we won't. But this is a step in the right direction, but just a small step. When we deal with Paul Ryan's budget this week, our path to prosperity, we'll begin to take on the much bigger challenges that face our country.
All right. Now on the Paul Ryan budget and also the debt ceiling. Let's take the debt ceiling. They could go hand in hand ultimately. But if you vote to raise the debt ceiling, you said on Saturday night to a group of supporters in Connecticut that you want something really, really big in return. really, really big in terms of cutting spending or reform for government programs. What do you define now as really, really big?
Big. I'm not going to negotiate with you, just like I wasn't going to negotiate with the media in Washington. But the president has asked us to increase the debt limit. In other words, to increase the limit on the credit card without doing anything about the source of the problem. And we've got to deal with the source of the problem.
If that's the case, then will you settle for less than trillions of dollars in spending, whether that's $2 trillion or $4 trillion or $6 trillion, as Paul Ryan has proposed?
We're going to work with our colleagues in the House, our colleagues in the Senate, and the White House to try to make sure that we take meaningful steps to put our country back on a path of fiscal sanity. Today, we don't have that. It's too early to predict what could or couldn't happen, but we're going to work to make sure, because I can tell you, my members won't vote to increase the debt limit unless we're taking serious steps in the right direction.
Richard, a caller from Sebring, Florida, thinks the whole mess just shows how inept and inefficient government, our government, is.
This is an example to show you how inept and inefficient our government is. Last November, the people sent a clear message, cut spending, cut taxes, balance budget, make government smaller. Obviously, some of our congressmen up there in Washington have become confused again and start playing politics, especially with military pay. Withhold the pay of Congress, then we might see people get more serious about this budget. Now, $31 billion is not a cut, a substantial cut at all. The new politicians that were voted in November, they talked about $100 billion to start with and $500 billion cuts later on, and now they're talking about $6 trillion. If you can't get $100 billion, they're not going to be able to handle $6 trillion out of the budget. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Up next, we shift the focus to Japan, where another earthquake has hit exactly a month after the tsunami. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise?
Yep. Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Can you get long-lasting pain relief without taking pills all day?
Yes, with Thermacare heat wraps.
I was surprised. I got real relief without pills.
I could actually feel the real heat of Thermacare relax and unlock my tight muscles.
Over 8 hours, Thermacare is more effective for back pain than the maximum dose of acetaminophen, the medicine in Tylenol.
No pills, no pain, just relief.
Try Thermacare heat wraps. Go to Thermacare.com for a $3 off coupon now. Use as directed.
If you only want to lose 5 or 10 vanity pounds, sorry, but we can't help you. But if you seriously want to lose 30 pounds or more because you're worried about health risks like diabetes, high blood pressure, or cholesterol, we can help you, and the trial is free when you call 1-800-952-4105 in the next 5 minutes. We're Sensa, and our revolutionary weight loss solution is clinically proven to help you lose 30 pounds or more. And now, for a limited time, you can try Sensa free for a full 30 days if you call the toll-free number in the next 5 minutes. Sensa is proven through science, but works like magic. In one of the largest weight loss studies of its kind ever conducted, more than 1,400 participants lost over 30 pounds on average with Sensa without changing their diet or exercise routine. If you're serious about losing weight and have more than 30 pounds to lose, call now for your free trial. Call 1-800-952-4105. 1-800-952-4105. That's 1-800-952-4105.
Men and women, do you look in the mirror and see dark circles under your eyes? Or do you have bags? Are your eyes puffy? Do you look tired all the time? Now, there's a fix for that, a cream that can help you instantly. You get it free by calling 800-894-3302. It's called Lumitone. Rub a dab of Lumitone around your eyes, and it will reduce the look of dark circles instantly. It's amazing. You look bright and refreshed in just seconds. Doesn't stop there. Lumitone has a special ingredient that eases the appearance of your puffiness and bags. Tested and approved, this stuff works. You can get started by calling 800-894-3302. Get a free bottle. You pay a small shipping and handling fee. That's it. 800-894-3302. Lumitone. Get rid of all those bags and the sad look under your eye. 800-894-3302. Ask for Lumitone.
I'm Bob Whitster with Farmers Insurance. We're a proud supporter of March of Dimes, March for Babies. Helping babies was an easy decision for farmers. We want to take steps to help moms have healthy pregnancies and save babies' lives. We've participated in March for Babies for the past 25 years, and we'll continue to help fight premature birth and birth defects. Join us and the 20,000 companies who are walking together for stronger, healthier babies. Start your team at marchforbabies.org.
Talk Review, Doug Steffen, turning our attention now toward Japan, where they mark the one-month anniversary with another earthquake. Phil Handel and Bill Carroll talking on their radio program about the latest on the situation there in Japan as the locals try to deal with the aftermath of yet another earthquake, continuing radiation concerns, and debris that's been taken out by the tsunami, which is washing back on the shores.
The folks in Japan, in the middle of a ceremony, it was a ceremony which they were bowing their heads and weeping to mark 1 month since the tsunami that killed 25,000 people hit Japan, and, of course, the nuclear crisis as a result of the earthquake. Well, within hours afterwards, another aftershock hit that the Japanese say was a 7.0. U.S. monitor says a 6.6. They cannot get a break at all. And, of course, there's still the issue of leaking radiation from the cooling systems of the Fukushima Daiichi plant. It's not good to be Japanese. It really isn't.
It's okay to be Japanese, just not in Japan.
Yeah, that's true. It's more of a geographical issue than it is a ethnic issue. That's true.
One of the issues that has come up is that some of the debris that was originally taken out by the tsunami a month ago is now coming back up onto the shores there in Japan.
And to give you an idea of the power of this tsunami, it's safes. Ugh. Thousands of safes. Safes are washing up on shore in one particular facility. Pardon?
Prefecture.
Yes. No, in one particular building. It seems to be a parking lot, structure. And hundreds of these safes are there. And the reason the Japanese have so many safes is because it's their version of the cash under the mattress.
Yeah,
they keep a lot of cash in safes.
That's I didn't think about it, but I guess it's a cultural thing there. And they even have a name for the money that is stashed at home. They call it tansu yokin,
which means money in safes.
So unless there are documents that actually have identification in those safes, safe people just keep money in those safes,
yeah,
nothing else, or diamonds or whatever.
Well,
they're not going to know who those belong to.
It's not like you get on an airplane and they say, make sure that you have ID inside your suitcase in case the ID tag is ripped off from the outside. Who the hell puts your personal information inside of a safe unless you have passports in there, unless you have papers that are fairly important that can be identified?
You know, just to give you an example, but they're doing what they can, obviously, to get that back to the money and the safes back to the people who own them. To give you an idea of how disasters are reacted to differently in Japan, you know, we've done the stories about how the grocery stores were basically devastated by this. I mean, the shelves were bare because people would come in and stock up. Other people who had enough would bring groceries back to the grocery stores and offer them back to the owners of the grocery stores to restock their shelves for the people who really needed the food.
Here's radio guy Greg Jarrett talking to Times foreign correspondent Julie Mackinnon about this week's earthquake in Japan and all the Japanese that have been forced to relocate since last month's tsunami.
A lot of people who live in the Fukushima area, Sendai area, have moved to the same part of Japan that you are in. Are there a lot of people who have made that trip?
Well, people have left that area. A lot of people who are not even under the recommended evacuation are just moving out on their own accord. A new school year started here last week, so people were kind of eager to get their kids set up in new schools. So, yeah, a lot of people have left that area.
Yeah, Japan, already a fairly crowded place if you look at the population per square mile. What are they doing with all the people who've moved to southern Japan?
Well, a lot of people are moving to Tokyo and to Niigata as well. They're putting some people in vacant public housing units. In Tokyo this weekend, they took a hotel, an actually very nice hotel that had just recently closed down, and put 700 people in there. Some people are staying with friends and relatives, but there are still tens of thousands of people living in high school gymnasiums and that kind of thing. So it's a month past the earthquake, but still a lot of people's living situation is very unresolved.
We were under the impression that in many cases, Western journalists such as yourself working in Japan are bringing more information to our newspapers, the Chicago Tribune, the Los Angeles Times, than the people of Japan are getting from their own news agencies. Is that true, or is the news being presented there in an open fashion, letting everyone know what's going on as far as radioactivity and aftershocks are concerned?
Oh, I actually think the news is being presented here in a very open way. I think there's two issues. One is for people who are in the immediate disaster zone, you know, it's harder for them to get information because their cell phones might not be working. They might not be in front of a television. Newspapers aren't being distributed in the way they normally would because of transportation issues. So it's hard for them to get information. And then the second thing is that there's actually a lot of information about the radioactivity or the radiation, but it's hard to put it in context. And I think this is a problem even in the Western media. There's lots of information about the radiation, but in terms of what does it mean or how concerned you should be, that's I think that's where it's hard to give people context.
We hear about the original earthquake, the tsunami, the radiation leaks, and then 7.1 aftershock, 7.4 aftershock, and now 6.6. How's the population and the infrastructure holding up to all this pressure?
Well, I think it's very nerve-wracking for people who went through the first one. It's especially if you're sleeping in a school gymnasium and there's an aftershock, you're in an unfamiliar place. You're probably sleeping next to people you don't know. So I think it's very disconcerting. A lot of people are having trouble sleeping and they're anxious. So I think it's definitely an issue. You know, it's been going on now for a month.
In a radio interview, Fox News' Alistair Wanklin talks about the latest earthquake in Japan and the problems the people of Japan have in dealing with the tsunami and the earthquake from last month.
Months to the day since that major earthquake. No tsunami today, no victims, we're told, just yet, but plenty of damage. Buildings cracked, mudslides, gas leaks, power outages. Stuff Japan doesn't want to have to deal with on top of everything else it's gone through in the past month. This quake was centered on the disaster zone around Fukushima. That's where the power plant has got those problems. It was felt as far away as Tokyo. Spoke to a family there, said things rocked around inside buildings. Television nearly fell off the shelf. Up north, of course, you've got a lot of people still homeless from a month ago, 150,000 or so. And to date, very few have been rehoused. Some have been able to go back into buildings that weren't too badly damaged. Others have gone to stay with relatives. But only 33 families or so have been given new houses by the government. Of course, they are trying to build extra prefab buildings, but right now only 33 have actually been moved in. They wish it would all calm down and so they can start getting some of the basic services back together. Some of the problems are lack of water. 200,000 homes are without water, or 200,000 people are without running water, so they're washing in a bucket. They're making tea with that same water. It's just limiting. It's debilitating, too. People used to a very high standard of life suddenly reduced to having to collect their water in a pail from the street.
Coming up next, we shift our focus to Libya and the rumors that Gaddafi is is ready to accept a ceasefire. Up next on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Going solar for cheap is as easy as 1, 2, 3. If you want to go solar but thought the setup costs were too high, now you can build your own solar panels for less than $200. Don't laugh. We've sold over 45,000 solar do-it-yourself kits. Watch our introduction video at 123cheapsolarvideo.com. The video is free, but it won't last long. Save money on electric bills and get off the grid. Go to 123cheapsolarvideo.com right now. Our website again is 123cheapsolarvideo.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
My name's John. I've been having problems with my blood pressure for years. My doctor's tried everything without much success. I heard about Extendivite from a friend and thought, why not give it a try? It's been 3 months now, and my doctor's very pleased with how my blood pressure's finally coming down. I have a lot more energy than I've had in a long time. It's working for me.
For 12 years now, I've been helping people. My name is Don Wiskin, and I want you to know Extendivite works. If you're looking for more energy, or just want to be as healthy as you can, now is the time to join the growing list of real people benefiting from Extendivite. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
My name is Doug Steffen, overviewing what Talk Radio and Talk Television are talking about, and that situation in Libya is certainly fodder for conversation. Talk host Charlie Parker and Charity McCurdy speaking to Courtney Keeley, a reporter, about the African Union's deal.
There is reports that a delegation of African leaders, the African Union, says that Gaddafi has accepted their roadmap for a ceasefire with the rebels. We're joined by Fox News Radio's Courtney Keeley, live from Jerusalem this morning. Courtney, just exactly, we have any idea at all what that roadmap is?
No, well, I can tell you, I've heard a lot of roadmaps for peace before in the Middle East and in this region, and it doesn't usually bode well. I can tell you the African Union was pretty much founded by Gaddafi, and a lot of it's propped up by his own oil money. So they definitely have an interest in trying to effect peace, but what they didn't really say after meeting with Gaddafi is whether they discussed him stepping down. They discussed the cessation of hostilities and humanitarian assistance, but they didn't discuss the only main key demand of the whole opposition, which is Gaddafi has to go.
And Courtney, is this peace plan seen as a potential sign of weakness that Gaddafi forces have been thwarted by the NATO airstrikes?
Well, I have to say, you know, Gaddafi has come out before and declared that he a ceasefire and then didn't uphold it in the very early days when this conflict erupted. His insincerity is legend at this point. So I'm really waiting to hear what the opposition has to say about this, you know, peace plan, because they can actually give details of what's been said behind closed doors that we haven't heard yet.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned at the outset of the conversation that you've heard about roadmaps before in the past, and they usually don't bode well. We know it was just last month Gaddafi agreed to a ceasefire and immediately ignored it.
Absolutely. So, like I said, you know, insincerity would be the operative mode here. Roadmaps for peace, I've seen a lot of them trucked out for Israeli-Palestinian conflicts. I mean, the minute I heard it was a roadmap for peace, my thought was, uh-oh.
Any idea what a brief history of what's going on elsewhere, Bahrain, Syria, Egypt, et cetera, in the area?
Syria area is interesting to watch. It's definitely on a slow simmer right now, bubbling. It's very hard to get in. The regime is completely closing it off to most press. But what's not dying out is the opposition. They are being shot and killed, however, so that's they are unfortunately being targeted quite violently. But it does seem like they're gaining ground and they're gaining organization, so that's definitely something to watch over days and weeks.
Here from our affiliate WDEL, Alan Laudell, speaking to Yale professor Onan Hathaway, who says the constitutional clock is ticking on our involvement in Libya.
Well, set for us the case that this is something on which there is a 60-day deadline because the administration might argue that this is not formal war.
That's exactly right. There is a question as to whether this counts under the War Powers Resolution because there's a question about whether we're actually at war. Now, my view and the view of a lot of people is that this looks an awful lot like war, and so that it's hard to argue that, in fact, this doesn't count either under the War Powers Resolution or under the Declare War Clause of the Constitution. But that's a question that's been raised by the Obama administration.
Is there any kind of a generally accepted definition of the president committing our forces to war?
There is, although it's been a matter of some ongoing debate, which is part of the reason that we continue to have these arguments today. It is clear that the president can do some very limited interventions. For instance, for the purposes of rescuing Americans or protecting an embassy. But beyond that, I should also add, protecting the United States from an attack from abroad. But beyond that, it has long been accepted that it's Congress's role to authorize a decision to go to war, and that the president has to either have a declaration of war, which, of course, we haven't done since World War II, or a authorization from Congress. That means a law that's passed by Congress that says, yes, President, you can now go to war.
You just said, which, of course, we haven't done since World War II. Yet there was some kind of a vote in the first Bush administration for the decision to roll back against Iraq in Kuwait.
That's right. That's right. So that was the second kind of authorization I mentioned. That is where Congress passes a law that says the president can go to war. So that law was passed in 2002. It's called the 2002 Authorization for Use of Military Force, and gave the president the power to go to war in Iraq for the purposes of protecting the national security of the United States and carrying out any Security Council resolutions that might be passed regarding Iraq. And so that's the basis for the military action in Iraq, and we don't have something like that for Libya. And my argument is that we actually need something like that if we're going to continue to use force in Libya.
Find out more about these items. The Countdown shows a special box at DougStefan.com, and you can learn more about the behind-the-scenes of these various stories.